from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
We're good. I thought we were going to talk all about cuts and practice squad and everything like that, and I guess we kind of are. What are your thoughts about the Cowboys picking up Dalvin Cook? And I guess the word is he'll start on the practice squad?
That's what I was told, if indeed that gets done and signed, and they can't do that until afternoon. So, you're kicking tires. Didn't do much last year, obviously, but prior to that, had a, you know, several thousand yard seasons at running back. So, some experience. He's 29. And I think you'll get a chance to, or they'll get a chance to see for, you know, however long, he stays on the practice squad. Now, they got a new rule, by the way, in the practice squad for veteran guys. You don't get, like, a big contract like they were getting. Like, they would get, you know, more than the veteran minimum for the weekly pay, the proration. But now the veterans just get 21,000. I say just 21,000.
Sure.
Multiply that by 18, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good chunk of change if it's for the entire season. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what he's got and how soon he could get ready, because let's remember, he hadn't been to training camp. And the way I see it right now, starting tomorrow, the Cowboys would have 2 padded practice before the season opener. So he's probably not ready, but they're just going to check it out and see, you know, how he feels and what he's got when they start practicing.
Do you expect that, like, this to be the final thing they look at running back this year?
Well, I mean, you never know, right? I mean, what if you get an injury or so?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll probably sign a couple guys to the practice squad, right? I mean, I don't know what opportunities Malik Davis might have or Royce Freeman, but I think they would be 2 possibilities to put on the practice squad. But like I said, they can't start signing those guys till noon. And normally they don't, you know, it'll get out because the player or the player agent will tweet it out. But the Cowboys usually wait until they get all their guys signed before they start saying who they signed.
Gotcha.
But you want to get, and that's another reason why the practices are the practice tonight, not only for fan purposes, but you want to get all the practice squad guys signed so you can have a full practice today and for sure tomorrow when they put the pads on. But, yeah, I think that, you know, I think you're trying to take advantage of an opportunity, and we'll see how it works out.
Because I was kind of caught off guard, maybe not too much, but by moving on from Carl Lawson so quickly.
Well, there's another a possible practice squad. He wasn't ready to play, so there was no sense putting him on the 53 and take up a spot and then have them inactive on game day, right?
Gotcha.
So you put them on the practice squad, and you can keep another young guy for a week or two and see how things go. Because remember, the guys on the practice squad do have three elevations per year. And that's another position I think they're going to keep their eye on the waiver wire probably right now, is defensive end, to have a little bit more experience there. Because if you look at it, I mean, I know Golston's there, Tyrus Wheat's there as backups, but those guys, you know, Golston has least played, Wheat hasn't played all that much, Nealon's a rookie. So once you get past DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, it's not a lot of experience at defensive end after losing Sam Williams. So I think that's one of several positions they're going to keep an eye on.
One of the people that I thought had really shown out in training camp, and I was very confident he was going to make the roster, did not make the 53 yesterday, was Julius Wood. Were you surprised at all by that cut? Because I admit I was.
Well, who are you going to keep instead? At safety.
Yeah, I wonder if they would go five at safety then.
Well, I thought, didn't they do five?
Do you count McQuamu as a safety?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you would have kept him instead of probably McQuamu.
I believe I would have.
Okay.
Wow. You've always hated
McQuamu. I don't mean for that to be hateful.
But he's sort of just a safety, right?
Yeah.
See, McQuamu goes in and he's kind of the backup guy in the slot on the nickel. And then Marquise Bell and Wanye Thomas, I think those two guys excelled in training camp. Now, Wanye's got a little bit of a groin going. I don't know if he'll be ready for the opener, but I think they really liked what those two guys did last year. So it came, you know, you weren't wrong on his talent. It just came down to numbers and experience, I think.
Did CD give you a hug yesterday when he saw
you? He had so many people around him. Yeah. I don't know if you know who was there, but yeah, it was good to have him out there. You know, how many hours did you guys spend talking about it?
We broke the news on Monday.
All right.
Yeah, we were the show that was on.
No, I meant for the previous four weeks.
Prior to that.
Because he wasn't there, right?
He said a decent amount of time.
Maybe about six whole
segments. Decent amount of time.
Yeah. Over the summer.
It was going to get done, right? It just needed to both sides kind of meeting in the middle.
Yeah.
And by the way, to point out, the last year of that extension, so it's basically the signing bonus spread over 5 years, right? Because you had to, they had to throw the 17.99 he was guaranteed this year into the package. So that got eaten up in the, 136 million? Is that what it was?
Yep.
So they are able to spread the signing bonus over 5 years. But the last year on the extension, 2028, is a $31 million base, and it's not guaranteed. So to me, when you start looking at it, it really averages out to $30.8 million a year. Not 30, you know. And that's what all those contracts do. That last year that you can get out of is not guaranteed.
Yeah.
And so it bloats the total package, and it looks like 34, but it really isn't. It's closer to... Because the guarantee is all that counts, right?
Sure.
And that's what, you know, when you're negotiating, that's basically what you're arguing about. You know, how much guarantee do I get? So he's got guarantees for the first two base salaries. The signing bonus is guaranteed. Part of 2026 is guaranteed. $7 million of whatever the base is in 27 is guaranteed. And then 28 is not guaranteed.
And it looks like they've dropped his cap hit by about $9 million for this
year. Yeah, it's going to be a base salary. I think it's 1.15, and then the proration of the $38 million is like 7, so it's around 8. It's not quite $9
million. Yeah.
So instead of 17.99, it's closer to $9 million. So that gives you some room, and they used probably $2 million of it to sign Linville Joseph. I know it got reported as 4. It should be up to 4 million. The base is 2 million with 2 million of incentives that can be earned.
Oh, Now, I know they're the 53-man, we make a big deal out of it, but this is kind of a sort of a rough draft, and the word was Chuma Edoga will go on the IR. Any other, like, procedural moves that you know are going to be happening?
Well, they got a two-game roster exemption for CeeDee Lamb, so he didn't count on the 53.
I like it.
Because he wasn't in training camp, so they normally do that when guys sign late. But not that he has to use it. He's going to play in the opener,
sure.
Right?
I would assume.
They also put Nathan Thomas, the tackle draft choice, on injured reserve. Bland's on as designated to return, so he doesn't count. And then the trade of Peyton Hendershot, which I think I noticed it, but I don't know that it registered with me. I remember seeing him on the sideline in practice at camp, and I said myself, gosh, he looks awfully thin. Well, somebody told me his weight dropped into the 220s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not tight end weight, right? Because if you got a block, that's like putting a safety on the line of scrimmage.
I wonder what the reasoning is.
Yeah, I don't know. And whoever was, kind of letting me know, I don't think they knew either, but he dropped a lot of weight. Now, I don't know if it had to do with injuries and it, limited in how much he can work, weightlifting and stuff in the off season. But that's one of the reasons why I think some people were surprised that they thought he was expendable.
Well, now he gets to be Travis Kelce.
Understudy.
Yeah, understudy.
There you go.
Everything will work out for him.
That's a fine place to be. Absolutely. Thank you very much for the insight, Mick. We will catch up with you again tomorrow, so I'm sure things will continue to move on
this
roster.
Well, the bell should go off at noon. You can start signing practice squad, guys.
Let's go.
We'll get that teams all set up for Mickey like you wanted yesterday.
There you go. Thank you very much, Mick.
See you guys.
There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. Now, Mickey was talking about the contract, and there's some really intriguing stuff now that I got a better look of kind of how it's broken up and everything like that. So the cap hit, I know it was $17.99. Let's just say $18 million for the purposes of all of this.
All right.
So we're imprecise already.
Is that $1,000 that we're missing? How much is that?
That is $10,000.
Okay. All right.
So when you go from $17.99 to 18, that's $10,000.
Right. I'll write 10K down. Okay. Just for this purpose.
We'll just have that in a separate fund. Yeah. So now his cap hit is going to go down to $8.75 million. So, you're talking about the you're talking about a savings of about $9.24 million, but that's a big chunk of money. I just want to prepare everyone for how it's going to go after this. Because Mickey was talking about the 2028 year, and he's absolutely right about that. The only hit you take on that is the signing bonus. I believe after this season, you will see the introduction of those magical void years, because next year, CeeDee Lamb's cap hit is $35.5 million, as opposed to 8.75 this year. Then it's 33, then 36, then 39. So it's going to go up. I think you're going to see some void years worked in there so they can flatten the money out a little bit more after this season.
Yeah, but Kevin, let's look at it from CD's perspective here now.
He got paid
$26.85, and then he's giving them back almost $2 million the next year, and that he's only making $25 million instead of $26.85. And so, and he gets a $1 million per game roster bonus up to. So, like this, look, man, he's giving money back, basically. So,
okay.
It's all going to work itself out.
That is another.
It's just the cap is seemingly important because.
Yeah.
The restrictions the Cowboys put on themselves.
And I know you've got.
Because, Kevin, I think Mike would agree with me on this. He wouldn't know what to do with himself if he didn't have a cap. He would just overspend all the time. Mm-hmm. And so he needed something to reel him in because he's one of those people that you're at the front and you see a candy bar. What's that called? Whenever you're just
impulse
buy. He's an impulse buyer, Kevin. That's why we got Trey Lance. It's an impulse buy.
So whenever
he just can't resist himself.
Whenever he says he would write the biggest check in the world.
He means it.
You can look back and be like, hey, you were winning without the salary cap. So it kind of feels
Yeah, but he was maybe. Like, I had to. Okay. Otherwise, I wouldn't have any money.
And I know you've got a quote about this. We'll get into it more at noon, but this is the kind of thing when I say cap hit this year for CeeDee Lamb, $8.75 million, and we're like, oh, we're still up against it. Next year, it's $35 million. So whenever they talk about like, hey, you know, Dak's going to have to do more with less, that's a lot less. That feels like a lot of expectation.
But he's going to have CeeDee Lamb.
That is true. That
as long as he's healthy.
True. What? We're the KNC master.
What's the percentage?
No, don't do this. He'll be healthy.
That Dak signs before the Cleveland game.
I think it's
10 to 12%.
I think zero.
Oh, zero. I was still going to say like 10%.
I'll give it 1% then.
Okay. We will dive into that more at noon. Coming up next, though, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or do they miss a bunch of layups to pad their stats? Let us know. We'll do it next right here on the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fan.
Reese puts it up. Count the bucket. Body bucket and one for Angel.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion? Let us know. We'll get into it at 877-881-1053, or you can hit us up on the YouTube, on the Twitch. Is your buddy in the Twitch an idiot? Or just in general? It doesn't have to only be in the Twitch.
I'm in the Twitch.
Okay, but you're not an idiot.
But I'm also... I don't know if I've ever told you this, Kevin.
Oh, dear.
I don't know my Twitch login.
Okay.
So it's automatically logged in as Choppy on this. And so I always just say, Corey, not Choppy.
Uh-huh.
And then it never fails that somebody says, go home, Choppy. So that's there. But for the Twitch, because I love seeing their communication, their conversation, I do jump in as Choppy sometimes.
Can I share my own story about that?
And hold on real quick.
Oh.
I did point out, because we do have a picture of Mickey on a horse. That is something that I want to make its way on to when Mickey's there. Mm-hmm. I want the Mickey on a horse picture.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be even cooler if we got the animation, if Carter could make the animation happen, where Mickey trots across the screen on the horse and then falls off the horse and then rolls around a little bit and then it goes to a different picture. I think that would be fun.
Okay.
And if the Twolos agree... Fun? Who? Mickey?
Mickey.
I think you'd laugh.
Okay. Great.
He said skinny-ass safeties on air, so he did. I think he'd be all right with
that
it.
That he did. The very first time I got into the Twitch to chat was when I didn't have my voice, and I wanted to participate, and it took forever for me to convince people that I was who I was. They're like, oh, BS, this isn't Kevin. How come you're not on the show? I was like, because I can't talk.
Because I can't use my mouth.
But that was a fair point.
The way he said it first was better.
Now, let's go.
He could eat.
That is
right.
True.
He could use his mouth.
See. Now, let's talk about Angel Reese to start. My buddy's an idiot.
All right.
Now, there's been all kinds of amazing rebounding statistics that she has put up this season. However, there have also been super cuts of her missing layup after layup after layup. And now the data is in. And it is embarrassing for Angel Reese.
Take that for data.
So for WNBA players who've shot the ball at least 100 times this year, Brittany Griner leads the league with a 76% shooting percentage within 5 feet. Angel Reese's is by far the lowest in the league at 43.8% within 5 feet.
Maybe she should work on her three-pointer. She can't do it around the basket.
Yeah.
She's a good rebounder, though. So that's like the bad thing. She's a pretty good rebounder.
So the argument has been, though, some of those rebounds have been padded off of her own missed layups.
Yeah, no, I've seen it happen.
Which I've definitely seen in a basketball game before.
But if you move her out to the perimeter, she can't do that rebounding.
Do you guys remember Ricky Davis in the NBA?
No.
I don't.
He is a guard. And to get a triple-double one time,
yes,
he shot the ball off the backboard and then grabbed it. But it was, he was just hoping that they would, it wasn't even on his own basket.
I know. It was the other basket.
And they're like, no, we're not giving you your 10th rebound of the game because when they inbounded the ball, you threw it off the backboard and then grabbed it yourself. Like, that doesn't count as a shot.
There was a game once where somebody got upset that I didn't make a bigger deal out of someone's triple double or a double double. And I was like, that player went 5 for 19, and the majority of those rebounds were off their own missed, like, putbacks.
Still a triple double.
Because they were double double. Because they were like 6 inches taller than everybody.
Give credit where credit's due.
Okay.
That being said, when I do want to go back real quick during the U.S. women's versus France game, there was a moment where they were like, put Brittany Griner in, and she just stood so tall, and I was like, never do any other thing on offense but give her the ball. Nobody can stop her right now.
Fair. Very fair. Now, from the 972,
that's
my
buddy, WNBA talk. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. My buddy's an idiot. He thinks the Rangers will just bounce back to contender status next year, even with Ray Davis spending nothing to improve this team this offseason. For the record,
we haven't seen
him spend nothing yet. Do I think that's what's probably going to happen? I definitely could see that.
If Ray Davis, which he doesn't talk very often, but after the season, if he rolled out I'm all in.
That would be funny. I hope he does.
I hope he does not, because then I'll assume we're going to do nothing but sign. I don't know. We're going to convince somebody to come out of retirement. And they'll be like, we signed Frank Thomas and Chipper Jones at the end of the...
I'm in.
No!
I'm 1,000%
in if
that happens.
No, you should not be in on that.
Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt? Have you seen his NuGenics commercials?
Yeah, he's the Big Hurt for those people at the gym.
Yeah. And for those NuGenics pill, powder? I don't know what it is. Pills? Is it
powder? I think it's powder, okay. I think. But that's a good question. I don't even know how you do NuGenics. I just know nobody wants Doug Flutie, but all the women want Frank.
Every lady at that gym wants to leave their husband, and they bring up that they have a husband. They're like, oh, wish my husband could get that going. And so it feels like It feels like
I'm not 6'7" and 300 pounds.
I am not. I can do one of those. All right. And so from the 3-2-1, my buddy's an idiot. He likes the last season of Ted Lasso.
It's fine. You can call me an idiot if you want. I love it.
That last episode is probably the best episode they ever did, though.
It was, you know what?
It's amazing.
It was really good.
It was really good.
What happened? They win it all? They Euroleague it?
And they sang.
Oh, they won the whole thing?
No.
Oh.
But they did believe.
That's true. That was a very effective.
And then the last song.
Was the Cowboys after all their playoff losses. We did believe we were going to win.
I would actually love to hear Dak Prescott say that.
What?
That, hey, I know we keep losing, but we believe.
Yeah. As long as you believe.
Yeah.
That keeps everything together.
True.
Yeah, move on.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Sloane Stephens then.
Thanks, Dak.
Is she an idiot or is this unfair?
Who
Mike,
is she?
She's a tennis player.
Oh, good for her.
I was about to introduce you as our resident tennis expert.
No, but don't
I guess that kind of undercuts that right there.
It was very quick, too.
Brad Townsend's playing right now.
It's not
round.
Brad Townsend.
Is it Pete Townsend?
No. So Sloane Stephens in the U.S. Open in the first round. Keep in mind, she won the U.S. Open in 2017. She's up. She won the first set.
Was she the one that cried after she won because she was sad she beat Serena? Is that the same person? Am I? Do you know?
I know what you're talking about.
And then she retired or something. And
no, that was
sorry. I didn't know if this was Sloane Stephens. Sorry.
No. It's not. Hold on. I'll think of it. I know who you're talking about. So Sloane Stephens won the first set 6-0.
Uh huh. All right.
And then she was up in the second set 3-0, and she lost.
The whole thing.
Yeah, she lost the match.
I believe that.
So she lost the last two sets, 7-5, 7-5.
Game three, Dallas Mavericks, 2006.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that feel like it?
Yeah.
Right? You're up 2-0, and then you're up by 13 points with 5 minutes to go, and Miami Heat fans are leaving the building, and then you lose that game, and then you lose your next three, and then you don't win, and then David Stern is really happy because he sabotaged the whole thing.
Nobody to blame but Dirk on that.
I hear what you're saying.
Well, Avery Johnson called the timeout where then we couldn't advance the ball to half court.
Because Dirk missed those two free throws.
Naomi Osaka, thank you. There we go.
Thank you. So what happened to her?
972. Well, she's also had some mental health issues that have bounced her in and out of tennis.
Okay. Because Serena yelled at the referee judge.
Yeah. She said, "I will stuff this ball down your throat," to a referee. And then she goes, "I never threatened a referee." And I was like, huh.
Is that a threat?
I feel like it is. "I will stuff a tennis ball down your throat." That feels like a threat or a Saturday night at Choppies.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't. That's probably.
They're winning this week.
That's probably not okay. Well, let's strike that from the record. All right. Carter and Corey, let's see if you have some good excuse for this. Is DeMarco Murray an idiot? He received a one-game suspension, which is obviously really, really going to hurt, he's the running back coach for Oklahoma.
Oh, good, because I was like, where is he playing? He retired 7 years ago.
He received a one-game suspension for NCAA recruiting violations. Answer for your guy.
So he's getting a one-game suspension.
Correct.
Because he contacted 17 prospects.
Oh, with 65 impermissible phone calls and 30.
They weren't eligible yet. They were too young.
Or it wasn't in the right time frame.
Oh, okay.
And 36 impermissible text messages. This punishment doesn't actually seem that bad. If you contacted people more than 100 times and they're like, "Hey, you're out for a game."
Yeah, and he's just the running back coach.
They don't even do anything
during the game.
They also found there were violations in the track and field program, too, so that's a problem.
Well, they're trying their best.
All right, so here's my question, though.
Okay.
Out of those 17 prospects, how many did he land? Because if he landed 16 of
that's
them,
the thing.
Then I'm fine with the one-game suspension. Yeah.
Yeah, or the best one.
That they're like, he's either going to go to UT, LSU, A&M, or Oklahoma, and he gets him to go to Oklahoma, and he gets suspended for a game. He's just the running's back coach.
Yeah.
Why do you keep saying running's back?
I don't know. I'm messing up.
Okay.
Running backs.
What's the conversion rate? Is it like 5 recruits that you landed to 1 game suspended that you're like all day?
Well, I think
your position. If you're the head coach, you might put your team in jeopardy. You have a lot of responsibility. Tell me what the running backs coach has as their responsibility during the game. Don't fumble.
Yeah, keep running.
You're not calling the play. You're not saying we should run it here. You're just making sure your guys have their helmets where they're supposed to be. Grab their helmet and go in.
Mike, there is a little bit of like, hey, look, you were too fast in the hole on that one. You need to slow up, be patient with that. And then once you see it open up, then take it. You know, there's just like the pitching coach. There's some subtle things here.
I don't think you're the pitching coach, though. I think you're the bullpen coach.
Okay.
You're answering the phone.
That's Friday night at Choppies. From the, this one is hurtful.
They have a lot of responsibility during the week. I'm not saying you don't need a running backs coach.
Stop saying it like that.
He's doing it on purpose.
My buddy's an idiot because they're the Cowboys and think that we should sign Sloane Stephens because she was good in 2017. Look, it does appear as though that's what we're doing with our running back room right now.
Look,
that we're going for players
that used
to be good.
You can go all the way to 2019.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, stop going all the way to 17.
Okay,
back to 2019 what we're getting.
That is
good
fair.
Running backs from there.
From the 575, my buddy's an idiot. He thinks the Cowboys will beat the 49ers this year. That's from Allen. Man, I hope your buddy is right.
In the regular season or in the playoffs?
It does not distinguish. I'm going to assume the playoffs.
Would you? When do you want to meet the Niners?
NFC Championship game.
All right. I don't want to meet them at all, but you're sitting here trying to make it the hardest possible path. I see how it is now.
Really, Felix, we've switched. Yeah.
Are you just assuming that they're going to be there? Is that what's going on here? You're just kind of assuming they're the best team in the conference.
No, from the 214, there's no truth to the rumor that the Cowboys just put DeMarco Murray on the practice squad. I am not reporting
for one
that,
game at
confirming
least.
Confirming that. No.
He doesn't have a job for 1 week, so.
No to any of that.
He could definitely be the running back.
Dalvin Cook, yes, they have signed him. He will be on the practice squad to start things off, but I'm not reporting anything else.
Lance Dunbar.
I'm not reporting that either.
Am I an idiot, Kevin? Oh man, I would love to see Lance Dunbar back.
Why?
Considering buying some of these Trump digital cards. Like, this is, I don't know, man.
Do we have that audio? That's probably too long to play. So Corey sent me this, and look, this is a non-political. If you get upset either way, I'm sorry.
Just,
it was an amazing commercial.
Fun.
So Trump is talking about his digital cards, and then he's like, there's even one of me holding a Bitcoin or jumping around and dancing. But then he goes, if you buy 15 digital cards, you'll get a game-worn card with like an actual physical card with a piece of the suit that he wore in the presidential debate with Joe Biden. And I was like, oh wow, that feels like a pretty historical moment. He goes, some people say it was the knockout debate. I don't know. Other people. And I'm like, well, to be fair, that is what happened in that. But then I'm thinking, how expensive are these cards? And then at the very end of the commercial, for only $99 per card.
Dude,
I was like, get out of here.
I like cards. You know, I'm just saying these could be valuable someday. That being said,
I'll be
10th.
Shocked if NFTs are valuable.
That's Kevin.
Like real.
Ever.
Well, but like, the one with
they were at one point, and then everybody was like, "Oh, here's the reality of it."
The one with the suit in it, though. That's the one. That's you guys always say the patches are important.
I think that would be. Are
you saying
for
you have
$1,500? I'm out.
Yeah, for $1,500, you get that card.
Yeah, if it was like $50, I would think about it because I think that would be a neat card to
I'll
have.
I'll tell
just
you what would be really
purposes.
Cool in like Allen and Ginter, which is kind of historical
yes.
cards through baseball cards, is if they did for somehow, some way have like an Abraham Lincoln, like they do have a
part
suit
of his
of
president's
his,
cards. Oh, man, oh. That'd be dope.
And you got a piece of like historical presidents in their suit.
Would you want a piece of his beard?
Yes.
I guess so, but
famous beard.
It gets a little
Very
bit
famous.
Weird. I feel like
piece
more
of his hat.
Fabric rather than part of his body.
Piece of the speech.
Who has the more famous, well, which is the more famous beard? Abraham Lincoln's beard or his wife?
His wife had a beard? Did it really? I didn't
We're
know
the
this.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
The Dragon Slayer,
like
whatever
a,
he
well,
was.
Coming up next.
I'll explain off air.
It's time for Gridiron Gravy. Yeah, would you like to see the Cowboys run more 3 wide receiver sets this season? And will they? We'll talk about that and hopefully only that next right here in The Fan. KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy.
Here we go.
And let's start with the Peyton Hendershot deal. Now, Corey, you brought it up when we were talking with Mickey. Peyton Hendershot got traded to the Chiefs for a conditional 7th round draft pick in 2026. I think he has to be, do you have the specifics on that? He has to be on the game day roster 3 times for that pick to transfer, but then there's another one where if he appears 5 times in a different capacity, you'll get the pick. Otherwise, you just give him to the Chiefs, which the Cowboys were going to waive him anyway, so I don't really think that's the end of the world.
Yeah, there you go. You nailed that, man. Good
All
job.
Right. Boom.
Nailed it.
Let's go from that to, do you guys like the usage? Well,
can I confirm? Can I reconfirm yes. here? They get a 7th round pick if he's on the 53 for 5 games or on the 46 for three times.
And if not, no pick is transferred and you were going to waive him anyway.
Yeah.
Do you like the use of the three? I was going to say 3 wide receiver and it went together. The 3 wide receiver set in the first half of games.
I'm sorry.
Is it because I said
asking
three?
If I like the 3 wide receiver set?
3 wide receiver set.
In the first,
in the
half,
first
of games,
half of games.
If I'm okay with it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you prefer it?
I mean, are teams not running 3 wide in the wide receivers in the first half?
So.
I don't.
The Rams almost always do it.
Yeah, and the Cowboys back in the Garrett when Cole Beasley and Dez were here, it was like that was their set.
Now they only do it 64% of the time, which is 18th. in the NFL. I'm curious, a couple of different reasons, and I know people have thoughts about this. Why do you think the Cowboys don't do it more often? And do you think maybe confidence in Jalen Tolbert or whatever else will lead them to running more early three wide receiver sets?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the factors is that they didn't feel like they have a third down receiver that's good for it. Plus, there are times when if Lipke's on the field, that's the better option is you have a tight end. You're blocking.
True.
And if your tight end is Jake Ferguson and you're sending him out to receive, then you got to have other people back to block. So, yeah, I mean, I know there's a benefit from what the Rams do when they say we're lining up in the same formation 90% of this game and we're going to run 60 different plays out of it, and good luck trying to figure out which play we're going to run. But I also do understand, too, there are ways to get the separation and the space that you need if you have different formations as well. But you got to be able to run plays out of those formations that will throw that'll keep the defense honest.
Sure.
Like if you can run a delay, if you can run handoffs out of the three wide receiver set and get big yards, and you've got the defense on their heels. So, yeah, I'm all about it if you can do it. But that also does depend on can your offensive line do that. So
the leading teams that run this set are the Rams, Falcons, Bucks, Colts, and Raiders, all more than 80%.
I hate most of those teams.
Okay, that's fair.
Wow.
And then the Dallas Cowboys are at 64%. So about, not quite, but about two-thirds of the time versus the Rams who roll it out almost every single down.
Yeah, and I do wonder, too, like how I need to see the numbers on if the Rams throw more off first down than the Cowboys, like what's happening there in those sets or if they're just running out of those because didn't it feel like the Cowboys kind of got lost in,
yes,
we're running on first down, boys.
Yeah, it sure did.
Kind of got stagnant sometimes.
Now, it probably won't surprise you to know this, but twice as much money per the Westgate Superbook right now is on an AFC team to win the Super Bowl as opposed to the NFC. Now, it's split up a whole bunch of different ways, as you would guess, but right now, do you look at it and say, I think an AFC team is about twice as likely to win the Super Bowl as an NFC team, or is that too steep?
They have way more great quarterbacks in their conference. So when we look at before a season starts, we try to base this, it seems like, way more on the quarterback. And I'll tell you who's taken a big hit after he lost the Super Bowl. A lot of people don't think Brock Purdy's a top 10 quarterback, and he has the best team in the NFC. But most people, I disagree, but it doesn't matter what I think in this. I'm just telling you that the majority of people who rank quarterbacks don't think Brock Purdy's that good of a quarterback, yet he has the best team in the NFC. A lot of people don't think Jared Goff's that great either, and he has the second best team in the NFC. So when I start looking at quarterbacks and you look at Patrick Mahomes, wherever you have Lamar Jackson, he's ranked in the top 10 for sure. You have Josh Allen, you have Joe Burrow coming back, you have whether it's the CJ Stroud who could upset everybody in his second year. Aaron Rodgers is back. Where is he? He's in the AFC. So you just look at it and go, gosh, if I'm basing this off of quarterbacks and quarterbacks only, when do I get to an NFC quarterback as a top 5 quarterback?
I'm just looking, Kevin. I wrote down 4 legitimate teams,
okay,
that I believe in the NFC can win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
A surprise team for me would be the Rams, but Niners, Detroit, Dallas, Philadelphia.
Okay.
That's the 4 that I would say I feel really confident that one of those 4 teams. I've gotten through 3, and I haven't even gotten down to the AFC North yet. And I got Buffalo, Miami, and Kansas City that I do believe can do it.
Sure.
And then the Ravens, the Bengals, Houston, and the Texans.
Yeah.
So that gives me more teams. So, yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense to me then. All right. Let's go from that to first NFL coach to be fired, because there's been a huge shift in these odds since the offseason. Dennis Allen, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, is now by far the favorite to be the first coach to be fired this season, followed by Mike McCarthy, who it feels like is perpetually high up on this list, then Todd Bowles, Brian Daboll, and Robert Saleh. So a lot of names that we've talked about before. Do you think it's fair that Dennis Allen would be first up on the chopping block?
Yeah, He's had his chance there.
If I had another coach, I'd pick Saleh in New York.
Yeah, because they're that close, and if they can't win with Aaron Rodgers, then that's where you're pointing your finger.
Yeah. And I don't get when people do this with the Cowboys. The Cowboys don't make major decisions and major moves. They just don't. Like, I get it. It happened one time, Wade Phillips, in the history of Jerry Jones. And look, he just came out and pretty much told you, I'm running the show.
Yep.
Son ain't doing it. And neither is Will McClay. And I just look at it and go, so in the history of his life, and there's been bad seasons. The Cowboys haven't had tons of them. Credit to Jerry Jones, I guess. He deserves all the credit. Is he's only done it one time, and that was a 1-7 team?
I believe that is correct. And they had just gotten smoked in a national
game.
Yeah,
so Mike McCarthy's not getting fired during the season. He would have to go 1-7 and get blown out in the majority of those losses.
Right.
That's not happening. Mike McCarthy's the coach for the whole season.
I do want to add one other thing to this part of the conversation, Kevin, if possible. If you're the coach that's the favorite to be fired, don't you want it to, like, can you guys change that term, the favorite? I mean, I understand it's a betting
term.
The least
favorite?
But like, I feel like y'all are telling me two different things here. I'm the favorite.
I got it.
But
Dennis Allen is the least likely to succeed.
There you go.
Would you like to say it like that?
That's okay. The favorite part had me kind of excited for a minute.
Okay. Per the betting odds, he is the least likely to succeed. Let's go from that back to DraftKings. So the NFLPA is suing DraftKings for about $65 million because they gave DraftKings the ability to use player names, images, and likenesses for NFTs. And that has now gone down the toilet. And so they believe that $65 million in damages are due to the NFLPA.
Because they gave them the freedom to do that?
I think because they also feel like they misrepresented what the profit off of NFTs were going to be.
So if they have to pay out that $65 million, what's Trey Wingo going to do? We just had Trey Wingo on earlier, and he's starting his new podcast with DraftKings.
He's going to have to be on our show more, maybe.
I'll take him.
I'm not entirely sure.
Fantastic.
I know you were very concerned about this yesterday, Corey. Fear not. Neville Gallimore has been claimed by the Rams after he was cut by the Dolphins.
Look, man, there's a reason he's no longer a Cowboy, and there's a reason he was no longer a Dolphin. So I hope the best for him, but I think we saw enough of that.
Okay. And then do you think that George Patton is being serious about this? Now, remember, as we've talked about before, this is not the George Patton that you might be thinking about from Wars and everything like that.
Which Wars?
World War II. All right. I feel really bad. I should probably know that.
Now everybody questioned Kevin on his history.
Yeah, I feel bad about that. He said that Zach Wilson has all the tools and he will be a starter in this league. Your thoughts?
Does Trey Lance have all the tools too to that guy?
Ooh, who do you think's more likely to realistically start? Zach Wilson or Trey Lance?
Is Zach Wilson, he's the true backup, right?
Hey, listen, man, Zach Wilson actually looked really good in the preseason under Sean Payton. He had somebody that understood how to, like, call plays for a quarterback. That's why he and Bo Nix looked good. They organized it for him. They broke it down, made it easy, and simplified it. Again, it was against preseason players.
Fair.
But I don't think I've ever seen Zach Wilson look that consistent in his entire career. And then again, Bo Nix goes out there, looks good. I think there's a common denominator in that, Kevin, and that Sean Payton understands what he needs out of those quarterbacks, and he only asks that of them.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, I'm really excited to see the feedback for this segment. What is stopping Dak Prescott from winning a Super Bowl? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.